My purpose here, Mark's purpose, anybody else that has accepted this, the reason we put on these meetings, you can ask any of them, is the reason that Paul states in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's a verse that says, I am giving to you what I first received, how that Christ died for my sins. And that's what we want to do tonight. If you've never experienced this, if you've never accepted Christ, our goal is to share with you what we know to be worth it, what we know to have value. Mark could say that. I'm saying that. Next weekend, next Sunday, will be 9 years since I was saved, since I accepted Christ. I know there's some here that in the last months have accepted Christ, and they'd tell you the same thing. It's worth it. Go for it. I want to open tonight in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? And the last verse, we'll jump down to 38, verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm quite certain that every church you could go to that preaches anything to do with this Bible would take those verses and would share them. And that's something that I think most of us learned as kids. I'm sure you all know that God loves you. And that's something that we want you to know tonight too. God loves you. If you don't know that, God loves you. Now, the problem is a lot of people want to just stop there. They feel that if they go beyond that, maybe it'll make the love seem a little bit less inclusive or something like that. Sometimes the gospel, that's what we're sharing here tonight, the good news. What makes the good news good isn't just God's love, but it's what God has done. And what God has done requires us to accept a little bit of bad news first. So, God loves us, but there's more to the story than that. And for that, we're going to turn to Isaiah 59. And this is going to seem like quite a statement after we just read about God's love. But we're going to read in Isaiah 59. And I just want to read verse 2. Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities, your sin, the things you've done wrong, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So all of a sudden we've went from God who loves. And these all these words about how there's nothing can separate us from God's love. And all of a sudden we read that our iniquities have separated us from God's love. Now we're going to come full circle back to Romans 8 with God's help. But I just want to read somewhere else now. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. We're going to read these verses and then I'll share some thoughts on them. But 1 John... it's very near the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 3, and verse 16. And it says, hereby we perceive, or we understand, the love of God. This is how we understand the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. We know that here it's speaking of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we will turn to Revelation chapter 20. These might seem a little scattered, but I hope I can bring them together as we talk. But Revelation chapter 20. And verse 14. We'll read verse 13. This is a future day. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Wait, no, sorry. Verse 11. I knew I was missing something there. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The last verse I want to read is found in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. If you don't want to turn to it, it's right here on the wall to our left. And this verse says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, that last line that we just read is something that would be very true of everyone that I just said. I said, we all want you to be saved. But there's something that everybody here that's saved has realized, and that is that they are a sinner. I've understood the fact that I have fallen short of God's standard. That's Romans. That's a verse in Romans. I've understood that I have sins that separate me from God. Mark has understood the same. Everybody that's saved has. But this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So we started off with God's love. We started off saying that God loves everybody. But then we read about how our sins have separated from us and God. And God loves. God does love. That's a completely true statement. But there's one thing that God hates, and that's sin. We know that. God has laid out a standard. That's the law in the Old Testament. He laid out rules, if you will. And for a while, there were people that thought maybe if they kept those rules, that would get them to heaven. They quickly realized, as many of us have, that it's impossible to keep those. And more so, more than that, they started to realize that the purpose of these rules, and that's what the Bible says, the purpose of these rules was to be like a mirror. It wasn't so that we could live up to it, but it was so we could compare ourselves against it. The law is kind of like a mirror, in the way that a mirror can show me that my face is dirty, but a mirror won't wash my face. And the law was not meant to clean, it was just meant to show us how bad we are, how wrong we are. And Isaiah 59 tells us that the sin that we've done has come between us and God. There's a separation, there's something between us, so that God's love that He shows to us cannot be reciprocated. There can't be a relationship because of what we've done. So God loves us. And maybe you say, well, God can't really love us. But one thing you need to understand is God is righteous. God does not break the rules. He does not take things like this lightly. So while He loves you so much, He does not allow sin to be swept under the rug. And if you have sin, it stands between you and God. This verse in 1 John 3 and 16 we read, it says, "Hereby we perceive the love of God." I'm going to turn to it again just so I don't mess it up. But this is how we know God's love. Because, I'm going to read it. "Because he laid down his life for us." And here we see God. You guys have already heard the story from Mark, but you know it. Most of you do. God sent his son into this world. He was born. He was perfect. He had no reason to ever be hated. But he was sent to a cross. He was nailed through his hands and his feet and he died. And the Gospels tell us, the first four books of the New Testament tell us that there was a darkness. History tells us that. And during that period of time, Jesus was judged for sin. He didn't deserve it, but he was there for us. He died for my sin there. And here's the hard pill to swallow. This is the difficult side of the gospel. And that is that if God sent his son to die for my sin on the cross, to die for the whole world's sin, it must have been very, very serious. I don't know how many of you have kids. I don't have a son, but I have two daughters, and I love them very, very much. I know that God's love is a lot more perfect than mine. So as you can imagine, he would have loved his son very, very much. So you can imagine how much God loves you if he sent his son to die for your sins. And here is how we know that God loves us, because God sent his son to die for our sins. You know, here's the other part is that he wouldn't have done it if there was any other way, would he? You know, if there was any other way other than to give his son who he loved, wouldn't he have done it? I know I hate to say this because it makes it seem like there'd be any choice at all. I would never give up my kid for anything. Anything. Nothing. But if I had the choice, if I put myself in God's shoes for a minute, I would have done anything other than send my son. But there was no other way. There was absolutely no other way. And that's how we know, A, how much God loves you, but B, how serious our sin is. There's a story in Luke chapter 16 of a man. He lived his life. He was rich. The riches have nothing to do with it, but he lived his life for himself. He was kind of like the farmer that Mark told us of. He lived his life for himself. He gave no thought to God. And there was a man that lived at his gate, a beggar. This beggar gave no thought to this life, but he prepared for the next life, and he had trusted Christ. This man had not. And it tells the story of one morning they both woke up. Something had happened. We don't know what, but at one point, they both were on the other side of death. And this rich man was in hell. This rich man who had a great life on earth, he had riches, he had everything. But he didn't plan for the future. He didn't plan for after his death. But he looked up to heaven, where he could not go. The story tells us that. He said, "There's a great gulf fixed. There's no way to go from one to the other." He looked up and he saw Lazarus, the beggar, the one who had prepared. He saw him in heaven. And he asked, now this doesn't happen, but it's here just for us to learn. He asked God to send Lazarus down to his brothers to warn them of this place. He said, and he just wanted a drop of water for himself. That's the only thing he asked for, because he said he was tormented in hell. Then we read in Revelation 20, you know, hell, we don't read a lot of hell, but we know it's a place where you're by yourself. The only way in my limited studies, I'm not much of a studier, but the only thing I can think of that would compare to hell at all is solitary confinement that you used to hear of in the war. A dark room, completely alone, unable to do anything, see anybody, completely alone with yourself, with your thoughts. But then we read of the great white throne, and God sits on it. We read of everybody being called up out of hell and standing before that throne. We see God as a judge. You know, everybody that stands before this throne, this is a future day, this hasn't happened yet. But everyone who stands before that throne, God could look at them and say, I love you. And I proved I loved you because I sent my son to die for you. But that means nothing because you haven't accepted it. And that is the responsibility that we have. You know, God has done everything he can to reach out to you. You know, your sins, we've talked about that. Your sins have stood between you and God, but he's done everything he can to reach towards you. And it's just like a gift, like Mark said, we just have to accept it. But Christ took judgment for us. You know, we talked about the cross. And I don't know what happened during those hours. I talked about the 3 hours of darkness that history tells us happened, that the Bible tells us happened. Where the sun was hidden, where nobody knows what happened to Jesus. I don't know what happened, but I do know this. During that time, he was punished for my sins. So that everything that has separated me from God, if I accept this gift that God's given me, which is forgiveness of sins, that doesn't stand in the way anymore. The only thing standing in the way is my decision. And we do know this. We know that that's something that we could never do ourselves. We know that it's only something Christ could do. Because again, we've said if there was any other way, God would have done it. But he didn't. He sent his son to die. So, God will be on that great white throne. Everybody that he judges, he will be able to say, I loved you. But you know what? There's at that point, there's nothing he can do. You've already refused. And at that point, this is straight from the Bible. This isn't my words. Everybody was cast into the lake of fire. And again, nobody in that place will be able to point a finger at God and say, you didn't do that. You didn't do enough for me. Nobody will be able to point a finger at God and say, you didn't prepare a way. And I think it's the beginning of Romans that says everyone will be... I'm going to go look at it. I think I have it highlighted in my Bible. Without excuse. That's the word. I might not have it highlighted, but that's the point I want to make. Everybody that stands before God at that throne won't be able to make excuses. They won't be able to say, I didn't do that. They won't be able to say, you didn't do enough for me. And I know that if I'm never going to stand there. But if I had have stood there, this is what I realized the moment before I was saved. I realized that I was completely guilty and I deserved what God was going to give me. And everybody that stands there will understand that they are completely guilty and they deserve the lake of fire for eternity. Because they've sinned against God. So, we've talked about God's love. We've talked about how our sins have separated us. We've talked about what God has done to bring us back. We've talked about really what we deserve as sinners. And I want to finish off with this. 1 Timothy 1:15. It's on the wall there. This is a faithful saying and worthy that everyone accepts it. This is for all. This is for every single person that's here and for everybody in the world. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We know he died on that cross. We know that he died for sins. And the purpose of dying for sins that weren't his is so that he could save you. That's what God wants. There's a verse in the Bible. If you asked me where it was, I couldn't tell you, but I can look it up after. It says that God wants everybody to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the wording. And God has made a way for everyone to be saved. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. 9 years ago, next Sunday, I was sitting at my desk. I read the words in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. I realized that what I had earned with all the sins that I had done was death. What I had earned was a place in hell, and I deserved to be there. And if I had died at that moment, I knew that I would have been in hell, and I could not have pointed any fingers at God. Then the words of a hymn we often sing, Jesus died for me, came into my mind. So I knew that I deserved hell. I admitted that to God for the first time in my life. But I knew I didn't have to go there because Jesus died for me. Mark talked about a gift. I talked about a gift, how God is holding that out to you. And that's the second half of the verse. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's nothing you can do for yourself. It's all through what Jesus has done. And we'll go back to Romans now, chapter 8. We're going to read this again. Now that we understand everything we understand that God has done everything. He wants us to accept His Son. He wants us to have this relationship because we know that once we accept Jesus, our sins aren't between us and God anymore. And I personally can say I have a relationship with God. And now that I know, now that I don't have that separation anymore, this verse applies to me. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, hard times? No, that won't. Shall distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. The list goes on. And the verse ends off. For I am persuaded that none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God. This is the important part, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only reason God can love me is because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. And that's the only way that eternal life can be gained, that salvation can be gained. That's the only way that you can be saved is if you accept what Jesus did for you on the cross. We'll pray. Father, we come into your presence again. We acknowledge our weakness and the fact that maybe our thoughts didn't line up, but we know that your word is powerful. We pray that even just the verses we shared might speak to some in the meeting tonight. We love this salvation that we've received through Christ. We love Him. We know that we only have this ability because of what He did for us on the cross. And we pray that someone tonight would realize God loves them, that He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for their sins on the cross, and that all they have to do is accept Him. We just ask that You would bless everyone here. We pray that if the devil is trying to put thoughts in people's minds, we pray that he would be held back. We know that You're powerful, You're stronger. So we just pray for every soul that's not saved in the meeting tonight, that they would come to know Jesus as their own. We're thankful for Your love. We're thankful for the gospel. We give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ who died for our sins. Amen. My brother-in-law spoke on something at youth group the other week. And the verse is in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and this is the part that I want to make clear to you. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, sometimes salvation seems so complicated, but if you look, he won't leave you hanging. That's my point. If you reach out to God, he won't leave you hanging. He will accept you with open arms.